growing up, Jordan was so big and everybody's like, I want to be like Mike and be like Mike. And I know so many guys that had the Jordan shorts, the Jordan shirts, the Jordan sweatpants and everything, and the Jordan shoes, but their game sucked. So shoes don't matter. It's your performance. And how is your performance going to be? It's because you are what you train. So if you don't train, your performance, it's not going to be good. It doesn't matter if you have the most expensive shoes or the cheapest shoes, because I've done it in $30 Reeboks and I've bought me over $100 shoes for marathons, and it's not going to be that.
Created live on Fireside.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Athletic Definition, broadcasting live here from Fireside, where it's an all-new interactive platform where you get to be part of the audience and not just your typical, hey, let me call up the radio station or leave a comment. You actually get to participate, and I would love for you to be here, so be sure to hop on Fireside. Welcome to Multiple Marathon Training. This is episode 181 of Athletic Definition. Right now, I'm currently training for my 58th marathon, Los Angeles Marathon, March 29th, 2023, followed by my, what would that be, 59th marathon, the OC Marathon, which will be on May 7th, which I am an ambassador for. So if you want to go ahead and join me on that one, go ahead and use discount code RayRuns10 on any race distance, and I would love to toast with you in the beer garden. I've been running for, this will be my 17th year now, my running run-iversary. What I've learned throughout is how to train for more than one marathon. When I wanted to do one at first, it was just like a lifelong goal. I was depressed, going through a bad marriage and a separation of a bad marriage. And so I was depressed, and I figured, what better way to get my mojo back than to do something that I really wasn't quite sure if I could do? But it was something that I always wanted to do since I seen the first LA Marathon on TV. When I first started running, when I first started my whole endurance journey, I feel like I'm the typical person because, you know, I've worked a lot of gyms, and I always hear like the dreamers, people just kind of who want all the glory and all the rewards without putting in the work. Just for example, you know how many times I've heard, oh, I'm going to be the next world champion boxer, or I'm going to be the next UFC fighter, and I'm going to be this. And it's real easy to be like that and be all pumped up and motivated for a little bit. And then as time goes on, people want to either run that marathon and get that medal, but don't want to put in that work, or they want to have a boxing match and not put in the work. Same thing and everything else. And really, you are what you train to be. Learn that through the years of training, bad performances, disappointments, and many more things that I'm going to share with you. It is really difficult to hit peak performance, at least for marathoning, more than three times a year. When you look at the pros, they're not looking to race more than two to three times a year. And when they are looking to do those, a lot of them, they're looking to hit their peak performance that one. And some of them, if they know they can't hit that one, then what they'll do is kind of maybe coast a little bit, kind of pack it in for that race and know that there's a, like maybe another one a couple months. So they're trying not to wear themselves out, which I'm sort of against. I'm against that because I hate quitting. But if you have a bigger goal in mind, then I completely understand that. As I was researching this, I started looking on YouTube, which is one of my favorite tools, which I am simulcasting here. So thank you, everybody, on YouTube. And thank you. I think it's Nicole, who just joined as well. So when you're training for multiple marathons or multiple events, when I was on YouTube, I saw that people were considering back-to-back marathons, something that would be maybe even months away or a week away or a couple weeks away. And I've done really, truly back-to-back, a marathon on Saturday and then a marathon on Sunday. And I've done different events like that. So I thought, I need to put more information out there because I know there's other people who had goals and aspirations of doing that. And it's always so much easier once there's some sort of information out there for you to be able to follow along. So always having something, some sort of blueprint to follow to see what you can do. So to me, the most important thing is if you're going to train for multiple events, it's to really have a plan and know what you're doing, know the course, know exactly what you're getting yourself into. So for example, if you're going to do back to back, for you, back to back might be like, I'm going to do 2 marathons within 1 year. That's fine. How much time do you have in between? How much time are you going to use to rest? How much time are you going to use to train? Do you have any time to actually train, or is it just going to be recovery and mobility work? Are you doing back-to-back marathons? And if you are, like, for example, I did a back-to-back marathon and the first day was all downhill, like straight downhill. It was one of these Ravel marathons, if you're familiar with them. And the next day it was a semi-flat course. So sometimes if you're going for PR, maybe you'd want to do that whole first day, just run it and gun it and see how you do. But running downhill will, depending on your training, could shred your quads or your hamstrings. And then the next day, you may not even be able to go. Most marathons do have a cutoff hour. So if you go all out from the beginning, how much juice will you have left, especially if it's going to be your first time trying some sort of back-to-back? So I recommend on that, really, what I did myself, I ran a downhill one for the first time. And then from there, I kind of took it easy just because I knew I was going to do it the next day and I completed it. I felt good. And then I attempted that again the following year. And I actually feel I had a worse performance the next day. I didn't have it. I wasn't strong. There's so many things that come into having a peak performance. And that's where I mentioned it's your goal. Are you just trying to complete it or are you actually trying to get a peak performance? So to give you a little bit of my background, I know some of you are just tuning in for the first time. You might be like, well, that's a couple maybe back-to-back marathons. That's just not enough experience. So let me break it down to you. Back in January 2018, I ran a marathon a month from January 2018 to March of 2019. Start off with 2017 because multiple events is kind of what I started really getting into in 2017. And it really just changed my way of training because as far as I know, I don't know anybody else doing as many events of the type that I'm doing and cross training the way I do. Usually most people focus on something, but ADD, whatever you want to call it, multiple passions. And I'm happy because of multiple passions. Sometimes when you have injuries, I could still work out. When I know people have completely stopped working out just because they got hurt and then they don't like or enjoy any other type of workout. And to be able to just keep working out and stay active, it definitely helps you come back, even though you may be off in whatever particular sport you want to do. But back in 2017, I completed in March the Los Angeles Marathon. Then I did the OC Marathon in May. Then I did the San Diego Marathon in June. Then I did the San Francisco Marathon in July. And then 5 days later, this is like the first time I tried a multiple event. But it was my first multiple event was not back-to-back marathons. No, I did the San Francisco Marathon. And then less than a week later, I did the Jiu-Jitsu World League Championship here at APU, Azusa Pacific University. I dropped down an age bracket because the person who was going to be in my age bracket quit or dropped out. So I dropped down in age bracket 5 days after a marathon, and I came in second place. Then in August, I did the Gracie Worlds in Anaheim. And then I did my local 5K race, the Azusa 5K. Back then, Azusa had a marathon. It was called the Ravel Canyon City. And since I was able to complete the marathon and the jiu-jitsu tournament, that gave me the momentum and gave me the validation that I needed for myself to feel the confidence that I could complete back-to-back marathons. And so that year I attempted my first back-to-back marathons, which was Ravel Canyon City on November 4th, 2017. And then the following day is when I did the Santa Clarita Marathon on November 5th, 2017. Great experience covering 52.4 miles in 2 days. And after doing that, I'm like, what else can I do? What else can I do? So then the following year, I was trying to think of what can I do to top that remarkable year of just a little bit of everything from jujitsu to running to half marathons. I really had a really good time in 2017. And then in 2018, on a personal level, I got evicted from where I was living. They sold the property, so I had to move. The only thing is they didn't really give me any notice at all. So I got like a 30-day notice, basically 30 days to find a new place to live. That could have been it was stressful not knowing what I'm going to do. And I already had these plans in my mind and I'm not sure where I'm going to live. And I'm working for a corporate bank at the time. So very high stressful job as well. And it turned out to be a blessing in disguise because my friend let me help him watch a property. And basically I got to live for 1 year for free. Basically, I just had to watch a property and that gave me the extra money to do some of these marathons that I was able to do in 2018. So sometimes when it may seem dark for you and you're like, what am I going to do? It may just be a blessing in disguise. I know when I was younger, I'd always see the people traveling to different marathons, different parts of the world, and just think to myself, how can they afford it? So it's not that I won the lotto or just have all this crypto cash that I got from FTX or anything like that. It's really that it was just a blessing and it all just kind of worked out. So that year, I got to run Carlsbad Marathon in January. And so this is where when you're running a marathon a month, sometimes you're going to have like a 2 weeks from the next one. And sometimes it'll be like 3 weeks. Sometimes you'll actually get close to that month, but you're never really going to have, it's not like a typical, I could take some time off, rest, recover, and get some training in. No, it's kind of almost like, especially when you're doing a marathon a month, you're almost just recovering the whole time. The other thing that happened to me is I got injured doing jujitsu. I got stitches. You can go back and see jujitsu injuries and protection for your eye if you want to check that episode out. I got injured, and so I couldn't really do any jujitsu. And then my ACL was hurting as well. And the only thing that I could do is run forward. So basketball was kind of out for a little bit. Doctor told me I couldn't do no more jujitsu. And he wanted me to not do it for a couple of years, but check out the other video if you want to know more about that. And so then what I did was, well, I could run forward. So I did the Carlsbad Marathon. That was the first one. Then I went to Sedona, a marathon, and I did a whole episode if you want to check that one out. And Sedona, that was the last year that they had a marathon in Sedona. Now they have a half, a 10, and a 5K. Then I did Los Angeles Marathon on March. I love Sedona so much that I found the city next to Sedona in Arizona called Cottonwood, and they have the Brian McNicholson Marathon. It's a tribute to, he was a local, I believe, councilman there who loved marathoning. And when he passed away, they made a race for him. Believe it or not, you would think, wow, I did three marathons the past 3 months, had never done that before. And I came in third place in my age group on the Cottonwood Marathon, which I had never placed in my life in a marathon. And since then, I have been placed. And I started late because I got into an argument with the girl that I went with to that one. So I not only did I start late, I was the last one, and I passed the people to avoid being the last, and then I got third in my age group. So I'm very proud of that one. Me just exploring. Actually, I got a really good deal on this one. So even though it was not a marathon, still in the month of April, I went to Zion, and I did the Zion half, and then I explored the Zion National Park. And this is all in the year that I did marathon after marathon after marathon. So then it's May and I do the OC Marathon. From there, San Diego Marathon, which was if I believe that year, it was very interesting. I think there was a shooting. Yeah, there was a shooting. There was a shooting that year, and I'm like, I'm on pace to, you know, finish. Not going to be my best time. It was a hot day, and then they tell us to stop. And so we stop, and I was like, oh, I think maybe on 23 miles to go. So like a 5K, I had a 5K to go. They tell us to stop. There was a shooting. And then they tell us, that's it. You guys are all done. They're going to come and bust you up. They ended up getting the shooter, luckily, and then they reopened it, and we were allowed to continue. There was a gap in time, but the streak kept going. It was so close to ending because of a shooter, and later on, I could do a whole show on that one. So with the active shooter and the marathon, I was able to finish. So that was the San Diego one in June. Then in July, I ran my first trail marathon, which is Run the Peak in the San Diego area. And that one, recovery for me was really good. But that night, I think my body went into shock. Never had really experienced anything like that. And then I felt good. I actually had felt better than, recovered quicker than from the previous six marathons. Then in August, I did the Camarillo Marathon. By June, I was starting to train a little bit jiu-jitsu. I bought some goggles and I was training here and there, and I was starting to play basketball again. So in August, the Nike 3-on-3 basketball tournament in Los Angeles, and I participated in that same year, so 2018. And then in September, I went to Nevada and I ran the Devil After Dark Marathon, which starts off in the day, kind of like when it's going from day to dawn. And then by the time you're done with a marathon, it's nighttime. That one was a very interesting one. Not sure if I would do it again, but it was a good experience. That same month, or very close, end of September or maybe October 1st, I did the Los Angeles Stair Climb as well. So that's I did a whole show on it. You can check it out as well. That one you can find it on Coach Ray Z and Athletic Definition. I have two versions. I have my perspective and then the ones with tips. The Los Angeles Stair Climb, tallest building west of the Mississippi, tallest stairwell. So climb that one. And then Azusa that year had Ravel, Big Bear. So I ran that one. And then, of course, wanting to be an overachiever, in October I ran a bonus marathon, which was the Ventura Marathon. And then I did Santa Clarita in November and finished it with Hoover Dam in December. So I actually ended up with 13 marathons in that year. Continued on in January with Carlsbad once again. By this time, they had changed the course and it was just beautiful. I loved it. Seaside Marathon, which is kind of like in Ventura and also another great course along the beach. And then Sedona no longer had the marathon, but I loved it there so much that I went back and I ran the half marathon in February of 2019. And then once again, I did the Los Angeles Marathon. That's where my streak ended. And I just went a little bit over on my original goal, but that's where it ended. And from there, I did some other marathons, kept training more jiu-jitsu, started doing tournaments, did the Los Angeles Stair Climb, received my blue belt in August of 2019. And then the shirt that I'm wearing, for those of you watching, this is the Lake Tahoe Triple Marathon, where you run three marathons in 3 days, covering 78.6 miles. No rest. I mean, there's rest, but you, as far as like a, more than a day or less than a day, you don't have that. So I definitely have experience with running back-to-back marathons more than once and running three marathons in 3 days, and also being able to train for more than one type of sporting event at the same time. I know a lot of people run LA Marathon last minute. You need to have a game plan. Well, you don't need to. I'm proof. Trust me, I've done everything wrong that you should do. So if you have a game plan, you're going to be better off in the long run. Here are the tips that I'm going to give you that I think are very important. You need to decide what your goal is. You need to decide if you're just trying to complete the marathon or if you're trying to get a personal best. If you've never ran a marathon, whatever time you run will be your personal best. If you decide to run one in the future, then that'll be something that you can look forward to trying to beat, always competing against yourself. If you want a PR and you've never ran with anybody, or you don't run with running groups, or you don't really know anybody, I highly recommend getting yourself a running coach. You can always contact me, but I know for some people, money can be tight. If you don't, we live now in a world where everything could be available or is available for free. And if you can't find it, it's just because you didn't look for it. So really now there's no excuse. You can look up training plans. You can listen to audio. You can watch people. There's books, audiobooks. You can do it. You just really need to know what you're trying to do. One of the things that can definitely happen when you're trying to do multiple events at the same time is overtraining. All depending on your personality, how serious you take it. But overtraining is something that can easily be done. When you overtrain, the chances of peak performance go pretty much down to nothing, and your chances of injuries increase. One thing you can do to kind of break up the monotony and everything else is try other training, cross training. And when I mean cross training, I don't just mean like CrossFit, but there's so many different things you can do, from yoga to strength and conditioning. And really, it just depends on what your goal is. Once again, goals are so important. Another thing that I think can happen from competing or doing multiple events is just mentally, it takes so much out of you. It does. It can wear you down. It's really tough. It's kind of weird though, when you're running so many marathons for so long, you actually kind of, your body starts to get accustomed to it. But I really don't believe that they're going to be any peak performances, because from all the knowledge I've acquired, all the coaches and everything else, really difficult to do more than, and when I say peak, I mean your best. Whatever your best is, it's really hard to do it more than three times. So that's why right now, for me, it's perfect. I'm only registered for LA Marathon and the OC, which if something happens in LA, then I have a chance to PR on the OC, or maybe I could even PR in LA and then still PR in the OC. And then right now, it's not official, but I entered my name in the New York Marathon lottery. I've never had the opportunity to go to New York or run that marathon. So if they select me, even though I would probably want a PR, anything I run over there would be a PR on that course, I would probably just more enjoy it, because I've heard so many good things about New York Marathon, the experience, the people, and I want to drink a beer on all four boroughs. The only thing that I didn't like from the whole contest thing, I think it's like $295, which that's fine. The cost is the cost. But for $295, it says that there's no guarantee that the shirt that you pay for because you're registering, that the size will be there when you go pick it up. So I think for $300, you should get the shirt size that you paid for. And I could go into that more, but I'm just going to move on. The other thing, as far as mental, one of the positives from it being such a mental burn and drag is that you're going to get stronger from it. So many times I can refer back to tough situations, it raining, cold, below freezing, super hot temperatures, and I can use it for other things in life and also to power me through and just make me mentally stronger. So now my confidence is even stronger because I know that I could do it. So there is a positive to that whole mental thing, but every once in a while you do need that refresher to get back feeling fresh and start all over. The other thing is nutrition. And when I mean nutrition, I don't mean supplements. I mean, depending on your race and how soon it is, nutrition is going to be super important. Like for me personally, when I ran the back-to-back or even the Lake Tahoe triple, the first thing I wanted to do was get nutrition in my system. Well, I wanted to get a beer at the beer garden, but after that, I wanted to get food, even if I wasn't that hungry. So I started off, at least for the Lake Tahoe triple, soups. It was super cold. Some days below freezing, soups were hitting me, and then later on I would eat. Try to, if you're going to do something like that, like a triple or back-to-back, you're going to need your nutrition. So to me, getting some nutrition immediately after the race, if you have a racing crew that could take you actual food, solid food, because all they have is like bananas and bagels at the end sometimes, and you're going to need something to get your strength back. Sleep is so important. As much as I rather not sleep and be doing something else, the more I learn about it, Matt Walker's a authority in sleeping. You can look into some of his work. It's so important if you want to have peak performance to be able to get that deep REM sleep. And now here are some of the things to avoid. Don't get caught up in the hype. Don't get caught up in the hype of shoes. Although I do feel shoes can be important, especially maybe more so on if you're doing a trail race, some sort of ultra race. But don't get caught up so much on the shoes. Oh, if I had this shoe, I would be better and all that. Kind of the shoes don't matter. You growing up, Jordan was so big and everybody's like, I want to be like Mike and be like Mike. And I know so many guys that had the Jordan shorts, the Jordan shirts, the Jordan sweatpants and everything and the Jordan shoes, but their game sucked. So shoes don't matter. It's your performance. And how is your performance going to be? It's because you are what you train. So if you don't train, your performance, it's not going to be good. It doesn't matter if you have the most expensive shoes or the cheapest shoes, because I've done it in $30 Reeboks and I've bought me over $100 shoes for marathons. And it's not going to be that. Trust me. The other thing that people, you know, you can get caught up in the hype is compression socks. Go check out my past episode. I don't think compression socks work. If they work for you, great. But don't get caught up if, let's say, you forget them, that you're going to not be able to recover. I've done it with and without. Trust me, you can do it too as well. Another thing that you can fall on the hype is having the smartwatch, having the right watch. None of that. I've run it with a typical Casio regular, resetting the timer every mile. Pretty much the last four things that I mentioned, the shoes, compression socks, supplements, and Supplements is another thing. So many of those supplements don't actually have those proper ingredients. A lot of them are junk. If you're not taking supplements, doesn't mean that you're going to get weak or not be able to perform. So definitely look into supplements. But all those could be placebo effects. Placebo is very, very effective. Doesn't mean it's not. But to me, the most important thing is your training design or your design program, whether you did it yourself or someone designed it for you, and then the adjustments that you make along the way. The other thing is basically what you're trying to do in that program is you're trying to create stress overload on yourself. And then what will happen is you will start adapting to the stress. And then the last thing that I recommend, and I learned it from experience, and then listening to David Goggins' books just kind of reminded me of it, is you always have to train for the unexpected. If you're, let's say, for example, always running with music and then you forget your phone, then what are you going to do? Not run because you forgot your earphones or something like that? Or let's say you always run with your favorite shorts and then they're dirty or whatever. All that, all these plans that, or something that might happen, you know, you start chafing, you get cold, you need to use the bathroom. The more plans you have, the less chance of you being like a deer caught in what is in the headlights. So you'll actually, sometimes you're just so tired, but you've gone through the motions so much that your body's just going to do it by itself. And it's more like just, although I hate the term muscle memory because muscles don't have memories, but it'll be more like a reflex of you just doing what you need to do than of you kind of like stopping and going, oh no, what am I going to do? So the more things, scenarios like that you can prepare yourself for, the better it is. And overall, when in doubt, work out. Those are my tips for you if you want to train for multiple marathons. I'm actually, as I was going through this and preparing for it, I realized how little information there is for multiple or back-to-back marathons. So I'm going to do a better one with more details. This is just kind of a general kind of tips, kind of letting you know some of my experience. So if you do want to reach out to me, I can help you get ready for more than one event. And I actually would love to meet people who are doing these type of events or maybe as extreme as me. I know some people do a lot of half marathons and do jiu-jitsu. I know some people who play basketball. One of my guests, Manning, in my Spanish podcast, El Mundo de Fitness, he's super active, probably as active as me. He doesn't run marathons, but he'll do like 5Ks and half marathons. But I just love to meet people who are active and passionate about more than one sport and just fitness and sports in general. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of 181 Athletic Definition. My name is Coach Ray Z. Thank you, Rudy, for joining me. Until next time, I'm out.